ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायण नमस्कृत्यं नारं चैवं नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो चयमुदीरय नस्तापृषु अहपत्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवत्युत्थम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी इदं भगवतं नाम पुराणं ब्रह्मसंहितं उत्तमश्लोकचरितं चकार भगवान् ऋषि निःश्रेयसाय लोकस्य दान्यं स्वस्तयनं महत् मुखं करोति वाचलं पङ्गुं लङ्गायति गिरिं यत्कृपतां महां वान्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनधारणम्। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Read from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 24th chapter, text 52. Pada, Sharat, Padma, Palasha, Rochisha, Naka, Yubir, No, Antar, Agham, Vidunvata, Pratarshaya Sviyam Apasta Sattvasam Padam Guru Marga Gurus Tama Shusham Padashara Padma Palasaro Chisha. Pata sarat patma palasaro chisha nakatyu pirnon tar akam vitunvata nakatyu pirnon tar akam vitunvata. Pratarshaya sviyam apasta sattvasam Pratarshaya sviyam apasta sattvasam Padam guru marga gurustamo chusham Adam Guru Marga Guru Stamop Chusham Padasarat Padma Palasaro Chisha Nakat Yubhyanam Tarakam Vidunvata Pratarshaya sviyam upasta sattvasam Padam guru marga guru stamo chusham. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Gijai. It's a prayer by Lord Shiva to the Pracheta, revealing it, the glories of the Lord to Prachetas. So Lord Shiva speaks very beautiful verse today. My dear Lord, your two lotus feet are so beautiful that they appear like two blossoming petals of the lotus flower which grows during the autumn season. Indeed, the nails of your lotus feet emanate such a great effulgence that they immediately dissipate all the darkness in the heart of a conditioned soul. My dear Lord, kindly show me that form of yours which always dissipates all kinds of darkness in the heart of a devotee. My dear Lord, you are the supreme spiritual master of everyone. Therefore, all conditioned souls covered with the darkness of ignorance can be enlightened by you as the spiritual master. Purport. Lord Shiva has thus described the bodily features of the Lord authoritatively in the previous verses. Now he wants to see the lotus feet of the Lord. When a devotee wants to see the transcendental form of the Lord, he begins his meditation on the Lord's body by first looking at the feet of the Lord. The Srimad Bhagavatam is considered to be the transcendental sound form of the Lord, and the 12 cantos are divided in accordance with the transcendental form of the Lord. The first and second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam are called the two lotus feet of the Lord. It is therefore suggested by Lord Shiva that one should first try to see the lotus feet of the Lord. This also means that if one is serious about reading Srimad Bhagavatam, he must begin by seriously studying the first and second cantos. The beauty of the lotus feet of the Lord is compared to the petals of a lotus flower, which grows in the autumn season. By nature's law, in autumn the dirty or muddy waters of rivers and lakes become very clean. At that time the lotus flowers growing in the lake appear very bright and beautiful. The lotus flower itself is compared to the lotus feet of the Lord, and the petals are compared to the nails of the feet of the Lord. The nails of the feet of the Lord are very bright, as described in the Brahma Samhita. Ananda Chinmayasat Ujjvala Vigrahasya. Every limb of the transcendental body of the Lord is made of Ananda Chinmaya Sat Ujjvala. Thus every limb is eternally bright. As sunshine dissipates the darkness of this material world, the effulgence emanating from the body of the Lord immediately dries up the darkness in the heart of the conditioned soul. In other words, everyone serious about understanding the transcendental science and seeing the transcendental form of the Lord must first of all attempt to see the lotus feet of the Lord by studying the first and second cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. When one sees the lotus feet of the Lord, all kinds of doubts and fears within the heart are vanquished. In Bhagavad Gita it is said that in order to make spiritual progress, one must become fearless. Abhayam Sattva Samshuti, Bhagavad Gita 16.1. Fearfulness is the result of material involvement. It is also said in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.37. Bhayam dvityabhinivesha syat. Fearfulness is a creation of the bodily conception of life. As long as one is absorbed in the thought that he is this material body, he is fearful, and as soon as one is freed from this material conception, he becomes Brahma-Buddha or self-realized, and immediately becomes fearless. Brahmaputta Prasanatma, Bhagavad Gita 1854. Without being fearless, one cannot be joyful. The bhaktas, the devotees, are fearless and always joyful because they are constantly engaged in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord. It is also said, evam prasana manaso bhagavat bhakti yogataha bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sankasya chayate. Quote from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.20. By practicing Bhagavad Bhakti Yoga, one becomes fearless and joyful. Unless one becomes fearless and joyful, he cannot understand the signs of God. Bhagavat Tattva Vijnana Mukta Sangasa Chayate. This verse refers to those who are completely liberated from the fearfulness of this material world. When one is so liberated, he can really understand the transcendental features of the form of the Lord. Lord Shiva therefore advises everyone to practice Bhagavad Bhakti Yoga, as will be clear in the following verses. By doing so, one can become really liberated and enjoy spiritual bliss. It is also stated, Omakya timranyasya genanchana salakaya chakshur unmilitam yena tasma shri gurave namaha. The Lord is the Supreme Spiritual Master, and the bona fide representative of the Supreme Lord is also a Spiritual Master. The Lord, from within, enlightens the devotees by the influence of the nails of his lotus feet, and his representative, the Spiritual Master, enlightens from without. Only by thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord and always taking the Spiritual Master's advice, can one advance in spiritual life and understand Vedic knowledge. As stated in the Shweta Sattara Upanishad, Yasya Devi Parabhaktir Yatha Devi Tatha Gurau Tasyaita Katita Hiyatha Prakashante Mahatmanaha. So thus the Upanishad enjoined that for one who has unflinching faith in the lotus feet of the Lord as well as in the spiritual master, the real import of Vedic knowledge can be revealed. Padashara Padma Palasha Rochisha Nakat Yubir Nontar Agam Vidunvata Sadashaya Sviyam Apastasat Vasam Padam Guru Marga Gurustamo Chusham. Lord Shiva prays, my dear Lord, your two lotus feet are so beautiful that they appear like two blossoming petals of the lotus flower which grows during the autumn season. Indeed, the nails of your lotus feet emanate such a great effulgence that they immediately dissipate all the darkness in the heart of a conditioned soul. My dear Lord, kindly show me that form of yours which always dissipates all kinds of darkness in the heart of a devotee. My dear Lord, you are the Supreme Spiritual Master of everyone. Therefore, all conditioned souls covered with the darkness of ignorance can be enlightened by you as the Spiritual Master. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Sai Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Parcharine Nivishesha Sonyavati Bhaskirtate Shatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sisi Gonitai, Sisi Krishna Balaram, Sisi Shyamasunda, Lalita Vishaka, Ki, Sila Prabhupada, Ki. So, as already told, very beautiful verse spoken by Lord Shiva to the Prachetas. Actually, Lord Shiva is in charge for the material creation, but he is also a great devotee of the Lord. He is Supreme Spiritual Master in this universe. He knows the purpose of the universe, because he is Bhava. Shiva is Bhava. Bhava means cycle of birth and death. There's a verse in Bhagavatam, Bhava Sagara, describing the world, material world or creation as an ocean of misery, of birth and death, repetition of birth and death. This is miserable. It's a fearful condition. We are all alive today, not? We all live now, but we are actually like a prisoner in a prison house in America, you know, who knows, you know, that any time I can be executed, finish. We don't know when, maybe in it will be this year, or it will be only after 5 or 10 years or more. So we are all on this waiting bank of to be executed by Kala, the time. Time aspect is very powerful, and it's the driving force of this material world. It is described in the Bhagavatam also in the second canto, that by every sunrise and sunset, the lifespan becomes shortened. We are not always aware about that. Materialists are very aware about that time factor from sunrise and sunset, and even in the night, because they know how to use every moment in that time. It's available, it's gold, it's money. So they use this time, you know, to bring out the most amount of money and success in life, right? That's the whole idea. But the devotee doesn't think like that. He should not think like that. Oh, how much money I will make today in so and so much time. Or I only have so and so much time left or something to do so that I can achieve such and such amount of money so that then ultimately I can retire and have a peaceful, happy life. So the devotee, he understands the time is given for everyone. Everyone has the same opportunity of time. But how we use the time, it's depending on our consciousness and our desire and our focus. So the focus is very important. So the materialists, they have their gurus to give them focus in which direction to go, mostly down, tama, punapunascharvita charvananam. Or what is this verse? Natevidu svarta katim hi vishnum. Durasha bahir artamanina andhair andhair upaniyamanas te pisha tantra urudam nibadha. Gliding down. Those who have no interest in Vishnu, they glide down to hellish condition of life. But the devotees, mahatsevam dvaram ahor vimukte tamo dvaram yoshita sangi sangam. So that's stated in fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam by Lord Rishabhadev, that the devotees, he who is focused on the Mahatseva, the service to the Mahat of the great soul, Mahatsevam Dvaram, the gate to spiritual world, Ahor Vimukte, the liberation or the gateway to the spiritual world. It's wide open. So Kapila Dev also says in the third canto to Devahuti that everyone knows very well that association with materialists will be sangha with materialists will lead to hellish condition. But the same attachment to the great souls, to the great devotees of the Lord, will lead to the liberation, will lead to the freedom from material existence. So what actually means liberation? Liberation doesn't mean to just come out of prison, if you're a prisoner. Because what you will do there, so real liberation means to act already on the liberated platform. Therefore bhakti already starts on the liberated platform. Like Prabhupada mentioned that the devotee is already liberated because he is always engaged in the liberated activities in bhakti yoga, in devotional service. especially if this devotional service is free of a false motivation, free of attachment. Then that kind of bhakti will give us the liberated consciousness, free of fear, free of attachment, free of the bodily conception of life. Actually, the cause of fear in the material world is the bodily concept of life. That we are this body, we are the doers, we are the enjoyers. We don't believe, we don't want to believe before we came to Krishna consciousness, or even all people, so many people today. They don't believe that the soul after life goes on to live, it's eternal. So this is all ignorance. Bodily concept, not to understand the position, eternal position of the soul, our relationship with the Lord, anger, seeing duality, enviousness, attempts for sense gratification, enjoyment. This is all gross ignorance, all described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. As the different kinds of tamas, anda tamishra, tamishra, tama, moha, and vimoha, or maha moha. So different illusions and coverings the conditioned soul is put in this material body. It's like a prisoner, you know, it's covered by the darkness of the prison. So, if one has the good fortune to come in contact with Krishna's mercy and Krishna's representative, Spiritual Master, we are actually fortunate, Bhagyavana Jeev, and get the opportunity to come out of this prison, of this dark well of material existence. The Spiritual Master is giving us the rope to pull us out, to bring us out of this dark well, covered well of material existence, and brings us to the platform where we are liberated. But he guides us further. It's not that he just liberates us. He also gives us the process, you know, that we will not fall anymore. That we will not fall anymore to this repetition of birth and death. And this is the great compassion, the great mercy of the great souls, the Mahajanas or Mahatmas, headed by Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, the Kumaras, etc. They're all great souls because they are not just Ishvaras in charge for the material affairs, but our great sages, they want to help others, to give them a process, a sampradaya, a disciplic succession, in which way the suffering souls in this material world can take shelter. And actually this sampradaya, or this knowledge revealed by the Acharya Sampradaya, by the sampradayas of the either coming from Lord Shiva, from Lord Brahma, from the Kumaras, or from Sri, the Lakshmi Devi. Actually, this knowledge, on this sampradaya, what this knowledge reveals, are Krishna's lotus feet. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that Krishna's lotus feet is like a boat. Very strong boat. So one is advised to take shelter on that lotus feet, on this boat of Lord Krishna. The ocean of birth and death needs a very strong boat, unsinkable. And we also need a good captain, the spiritual master. And even if you have a good captain, if you have unfavorable winds, then we are also lost. We cannot do anything. So therefore we need a good body, with good mind, so that they can use this body in the service of Krishna, so that they can take shelter in the lotus feet of Krishna on this boat. Accept the spiritual master's guidance, in which focus, in which direction we should go. Tate vitu svata gatim hi vishnum. That's the direction he gives. And he also gives us the favorable wind of Lord Krishna's instruction or words from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is important. Therefore the Svetasvatara Upanishad verse is very significant, that we should not only have faith in Guru and not so much in Krishna, or only in Krishna and not so much in Guru. So both of them are actually working together. Like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he used to say that actually Krishna is like, the Guru is like Krishna's counterpart. Like Balaram is Krishna's counterpart. They're both the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're both the Supreme Lord and also act as the Supreme Guru. The only difference is that Krishna is blackish and Balaram is white. Krishna has a yellow dhoti, Balaram has a blue dhoti. Balaram has a plow and a club as his main symbols or weapons or working instruments. And Krishna has flute. He's the most beautiful, best flute player. Both are most attractively dressed, like the best of the dancers or actors, Natabaras. Their ears are nicely decorated with blue flowers. They have very beautiful blackish hair, beautiful lotus eyes. Balaram's eyes are always rolling due to intoxication. They're always a little reddish. And they have very beautiful lotus feet. Of course, now I made a mistake. I started from the collar and from the face and from the dress, but actually we start by the feet. Due to circumstances. Kunti Devi, she was also starting lotus navel. She started to meditate on Krishna's lotus navel when she spoke the words describing Krishna's different places of lotuses. Nama Pankaja Nabhaya. Navel. Nama Pankaja Maline. Then the lotus garland. Nama Pankaja Netraya. Then Krishna's lotus eyes. And then she went down. Nama Pankaja Pankachangraye. Pankachangraye. Krishna's lotus feet. So in general it is advised we start with Krishna's lotus feet to meditate and take shelter. And meditate about these reddish lotus feet with beautiful color, beautiful effulgence. All the material manifestations, all knowledge, everything comes from there. And all great devotees, the Vaishnavas, are always taking shelter on these beautiful lotus feet of the Lord. Lotus is very significant. Pankaja. What is a pankaja in Bengal? Pankaja? It's a lotus, not? Lotus growing from the mud. Coming from the mud. It's something from the mud. I think mud is mushy, dirty, grayish, brown in the water, you know. It sucks out all our juice from the skin, right? If you take bath in Ganga or Yamuna, from this mud, it's earth. No. But there's such beautiful flower coming out from the mud, from the water, underneath the water, with such a beautiful smell, with such a beautiful appearance. And the significance is, although it is lotus is a water plant, it's not touched by the water. Water is rolling away, like mercury. Cannot stay on the leaf of the lotus. So, who will take shelter, or he or she, or the soul who takes shelter at Krishna's lotus feet, he's actually protected. He's protected by the influence of the impurities of the material nature. And it's the only solution, only way. Therefore, all the great souls, Queen Kunti, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Prahlad Maharaj, and all our acharyas, they always point out we should take shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. They describe the beautiful meditation starting at the lotus feet, going up to the lotus face and all the bodily decorations. So this is the process to take shelter and the beautiful life-saving lotus feet of the Lord. It's the only shelter. When Draupadi was in anxiety, nobody could help her. Her husband's not, Yudhishthira Raj not, and she was became disguised. I would say discovered, dressed out, you know, stripped naked. So she had no shelter. Bhishma Dev could not help. Nobody was ready to help her, to protect her. So she found out there's only one shelter, Govinda. She called out, "Hey Govinda, hey Gopal." And first she tried to protect herself, her honor, that she is not stripped naked. Would be great scandal, humiliation. So she wanted to protect herself, but Krishna didn't come, although she called. But then she raised one arm, also Krishna didn't come. But when she gave up everything to protect herself, to give up her own name, fame and glories and dishonor or honor, she just surrendered to Krishna. Then Krishna came and revealed himself and expanded this sari so that Draupadi's honor was saved. So Draupadi, she's a very great devotee, very dear friend of Krishna, and Krishna is very dear friend to Draupadi. So Krishna promised to always save and help his devotees. So whoever takes shelter in this, following in the footsteps of these great devotees, Krishna is revealing. Also, Yamunacharya, he gives this beautiful verse. Prabhupada was singing it many times. He liked it very much. Unfortunately, I never learned it in Sanskrit, but I understand the meaning. The meaning of Yamunacharya is a South Indian sage, devotee Acharya, and successor of Ramanuja Acharya. So he prayed to the Lord, "Oh my dear Lord, let my mind be fixed at your lotus feet, on your personality. My mind is like a swan, Hamsa. And the swan always likes to play with the lotuses in the beautiful lake. So now my mind is fixed on your lotus feet, like a swan, like a Hamsa is completely encircled by these strings of the lotus flower and these petals. And don't let me wait to the time when old age will come and my kapha, pitta, vata will become disturbed in my body and the mucus will come up and my throat will choke because I cannot call out your holy name. I cannot offer your prayers. Therefore let the time now be the perfect time where I can be fixed, remain fixed on you and give up my body. This is my desire. So Prabhupada, in great ecstasy, he recited, was singing this beautiful song, Shara. You know it? You know the song? Come here, sing it. Please sing it. Come. No? Okay, Krishna Pada Pankaja. So, Pancharadam. So many beautiful song. So that anyway, so many beautiful song. We are advised to absorb our minds, either if you are capable to learn these songs and prayers, or if you understand the mood or the understanding. In any way, doesn't matter. No? We are not Sanskrit. It's not that we have to all become Sanskrit scholars and then if one asks what is the meaning of it, then, I don't know, I only learned the Sanskrit. So it's important to understand the meaning of the prayer and the mood revealed by it. And then also follow this mood, absorb our mind in this mood, and in this way being very firmly fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna. And then, because if we take shelter on Krishna's lotus feet, he's the greatest person. If I take shelter in a great person and approaching his feet, you know, then the person, of course, he will not tolerate you that you bow down just on his feet or remain there. He uplifts you and embraces you. So we should not go directly on Krishna, embrace him or kiss him. Prabhupada told this is not proper Vaishnava etiquette. This is Sahajya or kind of Mayavad. There's this beautiful picture I like very much from third canto where Krishna instructs Uddhava in the Uddhava Gita. Next to him is Maitreya, Rishi. Both of them have opportunity to hear about Krishna's instructions. But it was spoken to his very dear devotee, Uddhava. But Uddhava, if you see, Uddhava is always fixing his eyes on Krishna's lotus feet, bowing down his head. And Maitreya Rishi always focuses directly on Krishna's face. And there Prabhupada is pointing out that actually Uddhava is pure devotee of the Lord, always remaining at the Lord's lotus feet, is always in humble position. And Maitreya Rishi, at that point he was Brahmavadi still. His heart became changed by the association of Krishna and hearing Uddhava Gita, so his heart also became changed and became purely inclined to the personality of Godhead and make him his goal. And therefore later on he was also able to speak available instruction to Vidura. Uddhava sent Vidura to Maitreya and asked him, please hear from him about Krishna and about the science of Krishna of Krishna and his pastimes, because he was also present when the Lord gave me the last instructions, the last instruction before he left from this world. So by hearing about Krishna from the devotees who are always remain at the lotus feet of the Lord, like bumblebees or honeybees searching for the nectar, then this is actually perfection. So we should always desire to remain in such an association where we can hear Krishna, about Krishna. Therefore it's important to hear regularly in the association of devotees about Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the taking shelter of Krishna, Krishna's lotus feet. Krishna's lotus feet is also the Parampadam, the place where the Lord manifests His pastimes, Goloka, the spiritual world. It's the Parampadam. It's Vaikuntha or Goloka. It's like a lotus petal, lotus flower, golden lotus flower with 1,000 petals. Sahasra Patra Kamalam Gokulakyam Mahapadam Kanikatam Mahatama Govindastanam Avayam. So in that central whirl of this 1,000 petal lotus is Govindastan. That's the place where Lord Govinda with his eternal associates, the gopis and the gopas and the cows and all his dear associates stay forever and enjoy eternal pastimes. So we are advised to always meditate about this golden lotus, as described in the Brahma Samhita and also in Padma Purana, to meditate about the lotus realm, Goloka. Fortunately, this became also manifested on the earth in the form of Bauma Vrindavan. So it's also Mahatpadam. It's also this same lotus manifested here. So that although we have material body, we cannot go to the Goloka, to the spiritual Goloka in the spiritual world, but we can take shelter here in this lotus realm of Lord Krishna and his eternal associate and take shelter. So Pada Sevanam is one of the 9 processes of devotional service. What actually means Pada Sevanam? Pada Sevanam is defined in scriptures. Actually, Pada Sevanam means, first of all, Vaishnava Seva, association with devotees and service to the devotees. That's Pada Sevanam. Worship of Tulsi Devi, Srimati Tulsi Devi. This is Pada Sevanam. To circumambulate the temple or do parikrama in the holy dham, in the holy land of Vrindavan or Mayapur, or where the Lord performed his pastimes. This is Pada Sevanam. Rolling on the ground or offering obeisances to the dust of Vrindavan is Pada Sevanam. So Pada Sevanam is also one of the 9 processes of devotional service. So one is advised to take shelter on Krishna's lotus feet in the deity form and also in the holy land, in the association of devotees, in circumambulating the temple, to go on parikrama and bow down to the holy land of Vrindavan. Because this land of Vrindavan is so auspicious, it remained here even in the age of Kali. There was one Bandira tree, it's described in the Gopal Champu, a very huge one in Bandiravan. He was so big, he reached from Bandiravan down over to Sri Ramgat. He had many, a huge banyan tree, shade full of, was very big and broad. And that banyan tree, when Krishna disappeared from this world, he prayed, "Oh, since I know that Govardhan remains, and the land of Vrindavan remains, and the sand of Vrindavan remains, and the Yamuna river remains, I can go now also joining the Lord in the eternal Leela in Goloka." and he disappeared. Therefore, this tree is not manifested. Out of separation, he could not remain a moment longer after Krishna disappeared from this world. Like Uddhava also wanted to go, but Krishna told him, no, he should stay. He could not tolerate the separation. But he told him, I have a mission for you. And therefore the devotee, he decides to stay sometimes back, sometimes he goes, but he stays and does the service to the lotus feet of the Lord, spreading the glories of the Lord's lotus feet. In this way, he's always in the safe position in the material world or in any place in the world, in the universe. For him, it doesn't matter, because wherever he is fully in the shelter of Krishna. Samashita ye pada palava plavam mahap padam punya yasho murarir pavam putir vatsa padam param padam 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 yat vipatam natesham. So he who takes shelter at Krishna's lotus feet, who is like a boat, and who is known as Murari, the killer of the Mura demon. If he takes shelter on that lotus feet, then this great fearful ocean of birth and death shrinks to the size of Vatsapadam, hoofprint of a calf. Becomes very significant. Very easily you can jump over and attain the Parampadam without becoming wet, without becoming afflicted by the material existence. This is Shiva's blessings here, given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam, Gichai. So, I don't know if we have time for questions or we can should stop. Okay. Maybe one question.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. I'd like to know, to get the mercy of Krishna, we need to get the mercy of Krishna, we need the mercy of the pure devotee of the spiritual master. To get the mercy of Krishna, we need the mercy of the spiritual master, of the pure devotee. But to get the protection of the lotus feet of Krishna, do we need the protection of a pure devotee, of a devotee, or directly the protection of Krishna can protect and give us his shelter?
No.
Do we need the protection of a pure devotee?
Speak a little slower.
Yeah. Sorry. Do we need the protection of a pure devotee to get the protection of the lotus feet of Krishna first?
Yeah.
As we need the mercy of the pure devotee to get the mercy of Krishna.
Yeah. That's the point what I made. If you only have faith in nur in Guru Bhakti, or engaging on in the service of a guru, this is okay, you know. But the guru also advises you to fix your mind in Shravanam, Kirtan, Vishnu Smaranam. So that means you should not do just puja to guru and remain near to the guru, but you should also follow his instruction, his vani, by taking shelter in the process what he gives to you. For Prabhupada, he told, I keep those who are weak near to me, I can develop the Guru Bhakti, you know. But those who are strong, you know, I will send out, you know, to preach and to spread Krishna consciousness, you know. He wanted to train devotees, you know, to engage in the hearing and chanting. Not in always staying nearby. Three days ago, in Vyasa Puja of Srila Prabhupada, I read in one book about some interview or remembrance of Shruta Kirti Prabhu, who was many years secretary, not secretary, personal servant of Srila Prabhupada. So he was always around Prabhupada. And he did very personal service, massaging him and cooking for him. So much intimate service. So one time when he arrived with Prabhupada together on an airport, he was amazed, you know, how all the devotees were ecstatic in singing, dancing, even crying. Because he felt very, very ashamed, and he thought, I'm so near to Prabhupada and personal servant, but I don't have these emotions. I don't have these emotions of to be so happy and that the tears were coming out. So in the evening, when he massaged Srila Prabhupada, he didn't want to encounter him from the face to telling about his experience, but from the back. So he massaged from the Prabhupada's back, and he told Prabhupada, "Oh Prabhupada, today I realized something, that all your disciples here, they have so much great love to you, because when you arrived at the airport, they were so happy, they were so joyful, so cheering, dancing in ecstasy, crying. And my heart was like a stone, was not moving. I didn't feel anything. What to do?" And Prabhupada, he expected that Prabhupada was telling something, but Prabhupada was not speaking. So he went on with the massage, went to the kitchen to bring something for Prabhupada, and then Prabhupada, after he came back, he told, you actually like your service? You like your service to me?" And then he said, "Yes, I like it very much. I love it very much." And then Prabhupada told, "This is love. Singing, dancing, and crying, everyone can do. But practical service, that's rare." So you can do the practical service near to Prabhupada, or also by following his vani. How many can have the service direct to Prabhupada? How many can massage him in the one day, you know? Oh, must be a, you know, he had 5,000 disciples. And if every disciple would come, you know, I would like to massage you, you know? Yeah. Difficult, though. Therefore, Prabhupada, he engaged everyone in different ways, also in his personal service. It's also personal. One disciple, I think it was Trivikram Maharaj, Sannyasi, our big Swami from America. Trivikram Maharaj. So he was he came to Prabhupada and he told. He was lamenting, "I have no personal service." And then Prabhupada explained, you know, that everything what the devotee is doing is actually personal. There's nothing impersonal. We have no impersonal service. It's everything personal service. So whatever we do, either you cook for the guru, or you distribute books for the guru, manage a temple for the guru, or you do Harinam because guru instructed you to please him, that's all perfect. Devotional service is perfect. Prabhupada wrote one letter to me and to Manidhar when we distributed many books. It's all devotional service is absolute. It's absolute, but Krishna becomes very pleased if we distribute his books or his glories. But devotional service is absolute. And Prabhupada told, "I'm only one person. I cannot do everything all over the world. So therefore, I have all your disciples, my disciples, as my expansions. They're all expansions. And you do the service on my behalf. So that's devotional service. That's service to, that's Guru Seva, to service to Guru. Therefore, in this way, we can see everything as service to Guru. And Krishna is accepting this service through the channel of Guru, lotus feet. Satisfied? Hare Krishna. Glory to Prabhupada. Okay, one more. But you also have a French accent, so you have to come a little near and speak a little slow that I can understand you. You're also French? French?
Thank you, Prabhu, for this class on the lotus feet of the Lord.
Oh.
At one point during the class, you compared Krishna and Balaram. And you said that Krishna was dark and Balaram was white, and Krishna had a yellow dhoti and Balaram a blue dhoti. So my question is that in Prabhupada's writing Bhagavatam, we can read that Balaram, he had his own gopi for his rasa dance, and some acharyas, they say that actually Balaram is Guru, and thus he is bringing the gopis to Krishna to help them remember Krishna. So I want to know, is Balaram as God himself also enjoying with his gopis, or is he helping them to remember Krishna?
Thank you. That's a very nice question. I just, on Balaram's appearance day, I spoke about it in Russia. Actually, Shastra, there's different Puranas and Agamas, Vedic scriptures, they say Krishna and Balaram, they're identical. They're both the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To see them different from each other, no, it's a great offense. It's actually hellish mentality. So Krishna and Balaram are identical. Both are Bhagavan, both are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Difference is that Krishna is origin and Balaram first expansion. But the first expansion, or even all other Vishnu expansions, have the same light as the original candle coming from Krishna. The light is the same, the powers are the same. So Balaram has a different service because he's the Supreme Lord and he's also the Supreme Servitor and the Supreme Fan. How would say? Admirer of Krishna. That means he's although he's Lord, the Lord, he is also tries to serve him. It's not that Krishna is just an enjoyer, he also is servant. Because he serves all his devotees who serve him. Because to only to enjoy the service of others is not real enjoyment. The real enjoyment is if one has exchange of service. So even Krishna considers himself a servant of his dear devotees in Goloka. He's not just the enjoyer. Although he is the supreme enjoyer, but he enjoys these kind of relationships much higher than just the Aishwarya where offerings and honor and reverence and opulences to and glories to him. Therefore Balaram, he always likes to glorify Krishna. He expands himself in different moods. He serves Krishna in neutral form, therefore he becomes his bed, his shoes, the land where Krishna performs his pastimes, His umbrella. So he explains himself many ways, you know, to in the Shanta Ras. In the Dasya Ras, he also serves himself as Anantashesh, for the sake of creation or supporting the Lord as his bed, Shanta Dasya. In Sakya, he's his elder brother, his friend, equal friend, actually his equal friend. And in Vatsalya, he's his elder brother, Dauchi, where he protects him, protects Krishna, is caring for Krishna, like an older brother, a younger brother. So this is the position of Balaram. He wants to serve Krishna and please Krishna in all the different rasas. Only in Madhurya Rasa, means in the gopi mood, he cannot do it himself because he's Purusha. So he expanded himself from his own Shakti as Anangamanjari. And in form of Anangamanjari, she is very dear to Lalita and Vishakha and Radharani. She's Radharani's younger sister. Balaram is assisting Krishna in the Radha Leela. It is said that Krishna and Balaram sometimes they had their meeting with all the gopis, that's with connection with the Sankachuda story, Sankachuda. And full moon night, Krishna and Balaram both together were singing and dancing and playing holy festival. And there are different kinds of gopis participated in this festival. Those were Krishna Priya and those were Rama Priya. So that means one set of gopis, they're Rama Priya, they're very dear, they're actually Ramas, Balarama's gopis. And there's one set of gopis, or many sets of gopis, Krishna Priya. Actually, Rama's Priya gopis, they were younger in that time, so they got less lessons or training, as explained by the Acharyas, how they can serve the Lord. So later on, when Krishna and Balaram went to Dwaraka by his own, Balaram decided to visit Vrindavan to bring a message to Krishna, because he has the power as Sankarshan to reveal himself to the to bring actually Krishna to the inhabitants of Vrindavan, like a TV. He could manifest whole Krishna consciousness there for the satisfaction of everyone. So he pacified everyone. And that in that time, for 2 months in the springtime, Balaram stayed here in Vrindavan, and it's described that he had a rasa dance, his own rasa dance, with the gopis who were younger previously, who became more grown up now. They had a great desire to dance with Balaram. And Balaram, he wanted to please them, so he performed his rasa dance in Shri Ramgat on the bank of the Yamuna, almost on the bank of the Yamuna. Yamuna was a little more further than today, is more near to Ramgat. So therefore, when Balaram wanted to take a bath in this river, and Yamuna didn't come, so he got upset and he wanted to take, he called his hala, his how we call it, plow, and drag Yamuna to him. Then Yamuna surrendered to Balaram, sorry that I misunderstood your position and your personality, I was in illusion, please protect me, please give me shelter. Of course, you can come. I was only afraid that you maybe are a little too much intoxicated, it's not good to take bath in my water. So Bhaji asked for forgiveness, and Balaram was happy, and with his gopis together had his bath in the Yamuna. And that's actually also in Garga Samhita. There's a story how Balaram, like Krishna, with Krishna, there's also Nisinga, there's Ram avatar. So with Balaram, also his expansions are all with him. That means Anantashesh is with him. Sankarshan is with him. And Krishna decided to manifest his earthly lila. He requested Anantashesh to also appear. So Anantashesh, he went to the Patala loka. There are many very snakes there. And there was a whole group of Naga Kanyas. Snake girls. They were very beautiful and very attracted to Lord Anantashesh beauty. He requested them, please come with me to the Earth planet, because I will become the elder brother of Krishna there, and we will manifest beautiful leelas together, and I would also like that you assist me there. So, and actually this set of Naga Kanyas, they became Balaram's gopis. And there was the king of the snakes, his name was Kali. He desired also, can I also participate in your leela? Can I also assist you? He felt also attraction to Balaram, to Anantashesh. And Anantashesh told him, yes, you can also come, but you will play an unfavorable role. You will become Duryodhan. So in this way, as you know, there are different personalities who appeared in Krishna's lila and also in Balaram's associates or Krishna's associates. They came from different groups of personalities who were very fortunate, either in this world, from some place, because they got the attraction, they had the attraction to the Lord and wanted to participate in his lila. So this is all only possible by mercy, mercy of Balaram, that even the snakes and Patala, they could got benefited and become his associates in Leela's gopis, and even Duryodhan was a manifestation from there, and he had to play his role. Somebody has to play sometimes a bad guy role in the Leela, so otherwise Mahabharata would not be known today. So it's all the drama of the Lord to enact his pastimes so that all the conditioned souls in this world can become fortunate and become attracted to it, and also join his eternal pastimes. Hare Krishna.